Mark's Gospel opens with these words, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the chapter from start to finish takes us on a journey covering Christ's entrance into the world and to what his gospel would bring in delivering people, in saving people, in healing people. We see the ministry of John in the wilderness, who prepared the way for the coming of Christ. We see how the people went out to John to be baptized of him, knowing that they needed to turn from their sins, knowing that they needed salvation. But John said to them that there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Then we see how Christ comes from Nazareth of Galilee unto John. And when he's baptized of John, we read that as he came up out of the waters, the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What a declaration from heaven itself of just who had come into this world. God's Son. Then Christ is driven out into the wilderness, where he's tempted of Satan for 40 days. The Son of God meets with his adversary, his accuser, Satan, who tries to rip him to pieces and fails, for he can find no fault in him, and he cannot tempt him to turn from God, from righteousness, or from the way, the path in which he has come. Christ came into this world for a reason. He came into this world to save sinners. And not even Satan's temptation in the wilderness for 40 days could prevent it. Then Christ returns into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he comes unto those disciples, those fishermen, who straightway leave all and follow him. As they follow him, they see the great miracles which he performs. And they hear the great words which he preaches. And the people, as they hear him, were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. We read the reaction amongst the people. As he went about preaching this gospel, immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell Christ of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. What power this man had! What authority he had! And what a picture these miracles are of the deliverance from sin that is brought in by his gospel. From verse 35, we read the following. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and ablaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Yes, here we see the end for which Christ came. He came into the desert of this world. We see the desert place, the wilderness where John was. And the people came out unto John. And then Christ came to where John was. Then Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages in Galilee. But in the end, because of the people seeking him, both for good and for bad, he had to then no more openly enter the city, but went back into the desert places, and the people came unto him again. He came into this world, as it were, into a desert place, a dark place, a barren place, an evil place. He came into this world of sin and darkness and rebellion. This world of sickness. This world of lepers. He came into this world to save sinners. To come unto lepers lost in the darkness without hope and to touch them. And make them clean. That's why he came. And when he comes to these lepers, and when he comes unto those whom he cleanses, whom he heals, whom he saves, they, broken, bruised, lost, and without hope in self, cry out unto him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And when Jesus sees people like this, sinners, the wretched, lepers, we read that he's moved with compassion. With this particular leper, when the leper cried out unto him, Jesus was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. The sight of this poor leper, the state he was in, and his desperate cry unto the Lord to heal him, to cleanse him. A cry of faith. Because this leper says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He believed he could do it. A cry of faith. When Jesus sees this leper crying out unto him, save me, Lord. He is moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. We read of several places in the scriptures where Jesus is moved with compassion. What a thing to be moved with compassion. How rare it is to see. How often do you encounter one who's truly moved with compassion? Or one that looks upon you in compassion? Or how often have you ever looked upon another with compassion? With true compassion? Well, when Jesus encountered this leper and saw him in this state and heard his cry of faith, he was moved with compassion. This emotion greatly affected him. He was filled with emotion. He was moved with compassion. The love he had for him, the compassion he felt for him, moved him. It moved him to do something. It filled his being. He must heal him. He was moved with compassion. And sinner, should you ever be brought by the Lord in your circumstances to the feet of Jesus Christ, should you be ever be brought to feel and know that before God you are a leper, unclean in your flesh from head to toe, vile, not to be approached by any, because such is your vileness, your illness, your disease, that you could contaminate them. There's death in you. Death reigns in your members. And death will affect all that you touch. Should ever Christ bring you to feel your state, should ever God bring you to know what you are as a leper before him, a lost, fallen sinner who's full of sin, who can do no right, and who, because of sin, is dying, is dead in trespasses and sins, is condemned. Should God ever bring you to know your state before him, that you're lost? And should ever God in the gospel send Christ your way, so that in that state Christ crosses your path and you behold him by faith and know that he's your only hope, and having nothing left in yourself, having nothing that could commend you before God, having no strength to change yourself, to take away your leprosy, to wash yourself of your sin, having no hope, you cry out unto him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. If God ever brings you to that place and causes his son to stand before you, then when his son hears your cry for mercy, he will look upon you the way he looked upon this leper. He will be moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. What a thing for Christ to be moved with compassion. What a thing that he was moved with compassion for this leper in this account. And oh sinner, should he ever come your way, what a thing if he was moved with compassion towards you. How rarely we are moved in this way, if ever. Very often we can be moved with anger. How often people cross our path and get in our way and do things we don't want them to do. How often the circumstances of life go against us. How often we're frustrated in our goals and our desires. How easily we're moved with anger. Anger against others. Anger against our circumstances. Anger against the world, the government, everything around us. Anger against God. How often we're moved with anger. How often we're moved with impatience. We won't wait. We can't wait. We don't wait. How often we're moved with frustration. This doesn't happen the way we want it to. When we want it to. How often we're moved with greed. And desire and covetousness. We want this. And because we're frustrated in gaining this, we're filled with anger. How often we're moved with jealousy. Jealous of those we perceive to be better off than us. Who have things we want. Who are favoured in a way we're not favoured. How jealous we become. How often we're moved with pride and arrogance. You may say, oh yes, I know what it is to be moved with those things. But I feel I've turned aside from them. I'm seeking God. I'm reading the Bible. I'm trying to walk aright. But we're seeking God on our terms. In our way, with our works and our own righteousness. We're coming unto Him, hoping He'll be pleased with something we do or something we are. And how, as a consequence, we're moved with pride. There's something good in us, something that sets us apart from others. Something that should merit God's blessing. So we've turned from these great sins. Oh, we try to control our anger. Oh, we've turned from greed for the world's riches. Oh, we're not seeking this and seeking that. Oh, we're seeking God. But by our works. How proud we can become. We're moved. But how often are we moved with compassion? Yes, people can be moved with love, but so much of what the world calls love is merely desire and lust. It's not true compassion. We love those who can bring us something. We love because of what we might gain, but we don't look upon a leper. Someone to be avoided. Someone to be fled from. We don't look upon those who are unlovely, vile, with compassion. Not only was Christ moved with compassion here, but He was moved with compassion for a leper. And when Christ is moved with compassion for His people, it is a compassion set upon those who are lepers, sinners, dead corpses before a holy God, and those who've gone astray, who've rebelled against Him, and who hate Him. He's moved with compassion for those who in their fallen, sinful state have hated Him. Was He ever moved with compassion for you? What are you? Are you a leper? Have you gone astray? Are you full of sin? Have you turned to your own way? Have you perhaps sought to attain unto God's blessing because of something you do? If you have, or if you are, may God show you what you are, that you're not as righteous as you think, that nothing that you have done is worthy of God's blessing, that in fact you are a leper. When Christ looked upon this man, he was moved with compassion. Compassion, true compassion, is something which is so very foreign to the fallen sinner's heart. We only really know compassion. We only really know love when we come to know the love of Jesus Christ. And if we come to know his love and love him in return, we will be able to say that we've loved him because he first loved us. We've loved him because he first loved us. Yes, he was moved with compassion. The sight of this man, seeing his state and hearing his cry for help, and in that Christ, seeing his faith and belief that Christ could help him, moved Christ. But it moved him with compassion, with love. It drew out the love of Christ for this lost sinner. And if you're brought into the same place as this leper and feel in the same state as him and cry out unto God for mercy in the same way as him, the movement that you will see in Christ towards you will be a movement of love. You'll see his love. You'll feel his love. You'll hear his love. You'll hear his love in the gospel. And you'll come to know the one who loved his own, loved his people, and loves his people with an everlasting love. The compassion which Christ had for this leper was a compassion he had for him before ever this leper came into this world, before ever he was born, before ever he found himself in this place. Christ's love is everlasting. He loved his own before the world was brought into being. He loved his own before he spake and the world was created. He loved his own before man was put upon the earth. He loved his own before the generations were born. He loved his own before each of them came into the world. He loved his own before they went astray from the womb speaking lies. He loved his own before they took their fists and shook them up at heaven. He loved his own before they fell into wretchedness and sin and wasted away their living on wanton living, wasted away their inheritance on wanted living, before they went away as prodigal sons. He loved his own whilst they hated God, whilst they took everything from God's hand and used it for their own wretched ends. God has placed us here in this world. He's given us life. He's given us riches. He's given us food and water. He's given us homes above our head. He's given us so many things. And what have we done with them? You have so much. And what have you done with it? Every day you wake up full of life, full of death. But the life you have, the natural life you have, what have you done with it? What are you going to do with it this day? What are you going to do with it this week? Are your thoughts and intentions to use the life, the energy, the strength, the riches God has given you for his glory, for his worship, for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? Is that your intent? And if it is, do you intend to do so in your own strength, by your own might, for his glory or for your glory? How many there are who think they serve God, who are zealous for him, who will come before him and say, Lord, Lord, we did this in thy name and that in thy name. And he will say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You took my name like you took everything else I gave you. And you went forth in my name, using my word, using my scriptures, using the gospel and the truth for your own end and your own glory. Not only do we as sinners take our natural life and the natural health and riches we have in this world and use it to our own ends, but people do it in religion. They're thieves and robbers. They're like the hirelings that have come into the flock of God, come into the sheepfold, and they're thieves and robbers, and they take all that is of God, all that is religious, and they use it for their own ends. You say, I'm not like the world. I'm not seeking the world. I'm seeking heaven and I'm seeking God. But are you? Or are you taking all that comes from heaven and taking the word of God and the scriptures? Are you taking precious things from the synagogue, from the temple? Are you taking priestly things and sacrificial things and holy things? Are you taking the word of God and using it for your own end and your own purpose and your own glory? You say you serve God. You say you worship God. And yet really, you come with your works of religion, your filthy rags of self-righteousness, and you come as a leper before Almighty God and say, Lord, Lord, I've done this in thy name and that in thy name. And it was all done for your glory, to the end that God might say of you, well done, aren't you good? And that you might earn his blessing. Well, what a leper you are, yet you don't know it. What a thief and a robber you are to take all that God has given you and use it for your own ends, even in religion. What a fool you are to think that you can come before God like that and be saved. You stand before God in that day with that in your hands, your self-righteousness, having taken all that he has given in the gospel, in the word of God, in the scriptures, and use it to your own ends, and you won't see him moved with compassion. You won't know a love, an everlasting love set upon you. You won't hear his kind voice calling you in. You won't feel his touch of grace upon you. You will not be cleansed. You will hear those words, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Oh, you're so religious. Oh, you're so zealous. Oh, you were at every meeting. Oh, you read the Bible from cover to cover. Oh, you were such a Pharisee. And he never knew you. But this leper, when he stood before him, when he knelt down before him, and when he cried out to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This leper felt Christ's touch. He knew Christ's compassion. He knew what it was to be loved with an everlasting love. He knew what it was to be saved. Yes, Christ was moved with compassion, but his compassion is for sinners. and lepers, like this man. His compassion is distinctive. The great lie of many in religion, the great lie of many who will come before God saying, "Lord, Lord, I've done this in thy name and that in thy name." The great deception they are under is the idea that God's compassion, his love, is for all. Because if it was for all, then all would be saved. And if it was for all, then even those that come before him, who've got it a bit wrong, who were trying to seek God and trying to serve him but didn't quite understand, even they would come to know his compassion. Even they would enter into the kingdom. And he wouldn't say unto them, "Depart from me." But he does say unto them, "Depart from me." Because he loves his own. He gave himself for the sheep, not the goats. He has a people for whom he came in this world. He came to save sinners, not the righteous. He came to call the lost sheep of Israel, not the goats. His compassion is distinctive. In Romans 9 we read that he saith to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Does he have compassion unto you? He was moved with compassion when this leper knelt before him. We read elsewhere of how Christ was moved with compassion to others. We read of the multitudes that followed him and were hungry and they had no food and they fainted. And when he saw how the people there fainted, he was moved with compassion. And he gave unto the disciples. The disciples had some bread and fishes, and they broke them and they fed the multitude. And miraculously, Christ fed them all. And when he saw that multitude, he was moved with compassion. But that wasn't just any multitude. They weren't all men and women in all the world. They were that people gathered before him that day. And they were those who followed him, and they were hungry, and they were thirsty, and they fainted. They were weak, they were broken. And those are the ones whom Christ looks on with compassion. Spiritually, that people had a hunger and at first they were a picture of God's people, a picture of all God's people, all for whom Christ came, who are brought by the hand of God to hunger and thirst after righteousness. They weren't all, and he doesn't love all, but these are hungry. There are many who aren't hungry, they're full. They fed, they're strong, they're full of their own strength, but not these. These are broken. They're broken by circumstance, they're broken by time, they're broken by the Lord who brings circumstances to bear upon them to show them their weakness, to show them their sin, to show them their leprosy. They faint. They faint. God sends unto them a John in the wilderness. And they're brought to John in the wilderness. And he says unto them that there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. They're brought in the wilderness. And there's a voice that cries unto them in the wilderness and points them unto Christ. They faint. They faint because they're hungry and thirsty, and they're hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Because, sinner, if you're brought into this wilderness, and if God causes you to faint, he'll do so because he'll teach you how full of sin you are and how you need righteousness. How you need righteousness to stand before a holy God. How you need to be cleansed. He'll show you your leprosy. He'll show you the stinking disease in your flesh. You'll look at yourself and you'll see your sin and you'll see your wretchedness and you'll see how unholy you are. He'll teach you through John that you must repent and turn unto God. And you'll try to turn. You'll try to turn from sin and you'll try to turn unto God. And you'll try to live as you should. And you'll come to the law and find yourself wanted. And you'll come to even what the gospel says. You'll come to the Beatitudes. You'll come to the exhortations and you'll find yourself utterly unable to live the way you know you should be. Because you're barren. And all that you find in yourself is the leprosy of sin within. And you grow more and more hungry and more thirsty. You want to seek God, but you can't get to him. The closer you try to get, the more you sink down into hell. The nearer you think you're going, the further away you feel yourself to be. You're lost and you know it. You're fainting. And then there comes a day when you think you can't go on anymore. It's gone on so long and you're so weak and you're so lost. And your sins have multiplied so greatly such that your guilt amount rises up to the heavens. How can you possibly be saved? And with your last breath, Jesus comes your way. With your last breath, the Spirit of God comes before you and says, cry out for mercy. And when he looks upon you, when Jesus stood before you, looks upon you in that state, broken and bruised, broken hearted, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, when he finds you in that state as a lost sinner, a leper before him, who cries out by faith as the Spirit of God gives him some strength to cry. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Have mercy upon me, Lord, a sinner. When he finds you there, he will be moved with compassion because he came for such as you. He came for the poor in spirit. He came for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. He came for the brokenhearted. He came for the weak. He came for the needy. He came for the lost. He came for lepers. He came for sinners who know they're sinners. Not just in the head, not just because the Bible tells them, but they know it themselves. They feel the wretchedness. They feel the depravity in their flesh. They see inwardly the leprosy and its effect and its destruction. They feel the death and the stench of death all around them and all inside them. And they know they've got no hope except Christ. Touch them. If thou wilt, thou can make me whole. And when Christ finds a sinner in this place, when he finds a leper before him in this place, moved with compassion, he puts forth his hand and touches them and says unto them, I will, be thou clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched the leper and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Oh, how Christ's compassion is displayed, and it's displayed by touching the sinner and cleansing him. Yes, he displayed his compassion by touching him. He wasn't just moved with compassion, but the compassion moved him to touch the sinner and cleanse him. He saved him. This is why he came. He healed the leper. He came to those hungry men and women who fainted. And he fed them. And he saved them. He has bread for the hungry and water for the thirsty. He has cleansing for the unrighteous. He can touch a leper and make him whole. Oh, sinner, this day, if that's you, if you stand before Almighty God in that place, in that state, absolutely lost, without hope in yourself, and he sees you, if you see him in the gospel, you'll know that he's moved with compassion. And in the gospel, you'll feel his touch and his forgiveness. He'll display it. He'll give you bread to eat, for he is the bread that came down from heaven. He'll give you water to drink, for he is the water of life. And he'll touch you and heal you, because he's the great physician. From whence does this healing come? From whence does the bread come? From him. From he who is life itself. From he who is the great physician. From he who is the bread of heaven. From he who came into this world to save sinners. To save sinners like you and I. If we're brought to know what we are. If we're made to feel that we are lepers before him, if we're brought by the Spirit of God, who quickens us from the dead, to cry out in faith, if thou wilt, Lord, thou canst make me clean. Yes, he came to save sinners. He came to save those who were dead in sin. He who is life came to save the dead. But how? How can he who is God, how can he who is everlasting, how can he who is righteous, how can he who is eternal life, how can he who has the words of everlasting life heal the sick and make the dead to live? One way. One way, by laying down his own life in the place of his dead people. One way. How is his compassion displayed? By coming into this sinful, dark and evil world, into this world of lepers, into this world of death, to be taken by dead sinners and crucified upon a tree, to lay down his life and to bear the sins of his people and to be made sin in their place, that he might take away the judgment, take away the wrath of God, appease the justice of God and the demands of the law against sin, that he might answer the judgment of the law against them, that he might deliver them from its penalty and its grasp, that he might cleanse them of their sin, that he might make them to be righteous, that he might take away the guilt and the condemnation and bring in its place righteousness, the very righteousness of God in their place, that he might take the dead and make them to live. That's the reason he came, and that's how he displays his compassion, and that's where the movement of his compassion took him. There's no greater compassion, there's no greater love. As John says in his gospel, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Christ came to lay down his life that dead sinners like this leper before him should be cleansed, should be washed clean, should live, should be righteous, should rise from the grave and dwell with Christ in an everlasting kingdom, an everlasting heaven, an everlasting earth wherein dwelleth righteousness forevermore. Did he come for you? Did Christ, the Son of God, of whom the Father said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," did he come from heaven's height into the darkness of this world for you? Did he lay down his life that you should live? And has he, in the gospel, come your way to where you dwell, to where you sit in your sin as a leper? Has he come in the gospel, past where you are, unto you? And does he look upon you as you look up unto him and cry out for mercy? Does he look upon you, and as is he moved with compassion? If he is, then he will reach out and touch you. He will put forth his hand and touch you. And he will say, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately you will be cleansed. Immediately your faith will be answered. Immediately you will be saved. And you will rise and follow him. Has he come to you in the gospel? Do you need mercy? If you do, here is the only one who can save you from your sins. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Amen.